Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to Jumping Bomb Audio.
Hello and welcome back to Jumping Bomb Audio, the world's number one Joshi podcast. We're glad to have you back. My name is Taylor, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Kelly. Kelly, welcome back the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back. I've lost consciousness once this week. Had to go to the doctor and get blood drawn. Don't do well with needles. But I got complimented by my nurse, and she was like, I've never had someone pass out so chill.
So you passed out at the doctor?
Yeah.
Because you saw the needle?
No, they had to draw blood and it just happens. It's just my body's response. Like anytime I get like blood drawn, it's just like, well, what if we just lower your blood pressure down to the point where you're not conscious anymore? And I'm like, you crazy for that one, body? And then I go out. But like, yeah, so as like my nurse was like, yeah, you just said you were going out and then you went out.
Well, it's so funny because last time I went to the doctor and they drew blood, I'm usually pretty good with it. I've never really had any issues. And they started on my right arm. They're like, great, we're going to get some blood. And the nurse was like, can't find a vein. It's like, poke, poke, poke. I'm ugh. Like, oh, my God, come on. She's like, okay, we'll switch to the left arm. I'm like, okay. Switch to the left arm, poke, 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 nothing. The nurse is like, can't find a vein. She goes, can we try your hand? And I was like, I guess, sure. Tries the hand, finally get it, it's coming out, and all of a sudden I was like, hey, just to let you know, I'm about to pass out. And she was like, oh my God, lay down. And I laid down and I didn't actually pass out, but I was like, she's like, do you want water? I was like, sure, I'll take some water. But I just laid down. But it's the feeling of being like, oh, yeah, we're not heading the right way here.
Yep. Suddenly my sight is turning into a tunnel and my hearing is kind of going weird. And at one point I did ask the nurse because like, so it's where I go to my doctor now, they moved and they're in a building that used to be a Barnes and Noble. And so she's like, yeah, they built this whole, like, the blood drawing area stupid, and there's no chairs where you can lay down or anything. So when I was going out, I just go to her, like, can I lay on the floor? And she goes, I wouldn't. And I'm like, yeah, that doesn't seem like a good idea.
Oh, adventures in taking blood. Well,
yeah, but hey, I don't have Hep C, so that's cool.
That's good. You seem to do a lot. I think this is the second consecutive week we've talked about you passing out.
I think it is, yeah. Because
last time we talked about your booster.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and I didn't pass out. I was very excited about that. So yeah, no, and then this time, here we go, I did.
Well, now you've made a full recovery to be here on the show. Well, if you want to hear more stories about Kelly's life, you can follow him on Twitter at Comic Geek Kelly. You can follow me at TayMambo, and most importantly, you can follow the show at JBomb Audio on Twitter. Please subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice so you can make sure you get all the episodes right as they come out. And if you happen to subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. It would be super appreciated. And if you're feeling extra generous, you can donate to the show at redcircle.com/shows/jumpingbombaudio. You know, usually I start the show, I do the plugs, and I say, wow, we've got a lot to get into this week. Because usually Joshi's a pretty busy world. This week, not the case.
Nah.
It was a pretty quiet last 2 weeks in Joshi. The biggest show, I would say, was the Ice Ribbon Cork and Hall show, which, as seemingly always, is, I don't believe it's airing until February 6th. I think is the date that it will be on Samurai. So unfortunately,
I was close. I said last episode it was going to air in March.
Unfortunately, we can't talk about that show as always. If anyone who works with Ice Ribbon or has any sort of pull in Ice Ribbon is listening to this, please put more of your big shows where they can be seen immediately so that we can talk about them on this show. Because I really love Ice Ribbon and I wish that we talked about it more. But most of the time, their big shows go like this, where they don't air for 3 or 4 weeks after they happen, and it's hard to talk about them.
Yeah. You know, let's just, like, start, I don't know, let's start airing shows sooner after they happen. Because, like, this just brings me to, unrelated to Joshi entirely, but the Voices of Wrestling Match of the Year poll. I was not able to vote for my Match of the Year because it did not air in 2021.
You were very upset about that.
I was really mad
in the Slack.
Because it's like, what the fuck? I'm not going to be able to vote for it next year because that'd be foolish. The hell? Let me vote for the match.
I think for Match of the Year 2022, you should find 10 matches that aired that were in 2021 but aired in 2022 and vote those as your top 10 matches.
Yeah. I should make like a blog and just make a puppet account so I can have multiple votes so I can do that one as my my throwaway ballot.
Yeah, just start a blog as Helly Karras.
Yeah, no one will
and,
know.
And do one article about something that you usually don't watch.
Yeah.
To throw people off. And then you can use that to vote.
Write about Brit Rest.
Yeah, write about NXT UK.
Yeah, there we go.
And be like, I love this program. It's I can't wait to watch it every week. Does it air every week? I have no idea.
Yes?
It's a weekly program, right? Because it's like NXT.
I think it's weekly.
Here's the thing. I think I've only watched one NXT UK match, which I think was Mako's first match or something.
Okay, I watched the Walter versus Dragunov match from last year.
Oh, and I remember I was really confused because I was like, oh, I'm excited to watch it. And it's like, oh, it's airing on Thursday at 3 p.m. or something. And I was like, what? I guess that's a British because that's what, 8 p.m. in the UK.
Oh, that makes sense. Honestly, I didn't think that WWE would make like any sort of concession to them with time. I kind of figured they'd just be like 8 p.m. U.S. time. Fuck them.
I have a feeling that they went, we should air it at 8 p.m. UK. And WWE went, well, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, does anyone think about that show in WWE anymore besides the people who are directly on it?
I mean, the fact that they still really haven't gotten hit by cuts means they don't know it's there.
The fact they haven't closed the entire thing down.
Yeah.
Probably means that no one knows it's there.
I really wonder if Vince knows it exists.
$10, you know.
Yeah.
Because aren't those contracts like they get paid like $500 a month or something?
It's something like it's pennies on the dollar of what it probably could be or should be.
I'm sorry for anyone, any fan of NXT UK, if I'm spewing incorrect information here. I literally know nothing could probably not name five wrestlers.
Okay.
Who wrestle on the NXT UK brand. Okay, Mako wrestles there.
Which is still so bizarre to me.
B Priestley, who goes by what's that name, like Blake Lively.
Someone Davenport.
I said Blake Lively and then I thought Blake Underwood. It's definitely not Blake Underwood.
Sasha Davenport?
It's not Sasha. It is Davenport.
Yeah, because it's the couch name.
It's a name of like a character from Gossip Girl. What is it? Is it Blake Davenport? No.
No.
I have no idea. I have no idea, and I refuse to look it up. I will not look it up during this program. Who knows? It doesn't matter. Who cares?
Who else was there? Joe Coffey?
Sure. Because
who's the one that put their hand up their butt and then didn't get fired for it?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I think that might have been Joe Coffey.
Because the only other three I know would be Walter, who isn't there anymore, or I say Gunther.
Gunther.
And the Grizzled Young Vets, who I also think are now in NXT proper, because I think they were in the tag tournament. I don't know if they still count as NXT UK.
Yeah, I'm not
but
sure.
I couldn't even name. I'm like the Grizzled Young Vets, who is
Zach Gibson?
Zach Gibson and who knows? Although I'm sure you could probably just say, "Oh, what's his face? A Kid, right? But I don't know what his NXT name
I think they
is.
Just call him A Kid.
A Kid, and then the guy who was in AEW for like 2 weeks.
Ben Carter,
but he doesn't go by Ben Carter.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I don't know what
he
goes by. That's four.
Yeah.
And then I've got, well, like Isla Dawn, I think is there.
I forgot about her. Yeah.
Well, I only remember her because I think the first Mako match was against Isla Dawn.
Yeah.
I think. Who knows? Anyway.
Bobby Tyler? She was like someone that was in Stardom, right?
Wait, who was the one in AEW? They like really hyped her.
Oh yeah.
And then she like had one match and then disappeared.
Didn't she just retire?
I thought she went to NXT. I thought she like popped up in NXT UK under like some weird name or something.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
Well, that's our extended segment on how much we know about NXT UK.
Well, now that no one's listening.
Well, if you want to know more about NXT UK, look up articles by Helly Karras.
Yep.
Coming in 2022.
I was going to say go listen to the BritWrest Roundtable, but that hasn't existed for years.
Go listen to just Joe Lanza still watch NXT UK and review it anywhere?
I don't think so. Probably.
He was the only person I know who watched it.
Yeah.
Pretty much at all. But anyway, the last 2 weeks of Joshi. Speaking of NXT UK, the last 2 weeks of Joshi. Stardom had four shows. Nothing major on the shows, mostly house shows. Lady C was out with I think she got an injury on the show on the 15th. She was out on the 16th, but I believe she'll be back for the 29th. She does have a title match on that day. The big event of the last 2 weeks of Stardom, Momo Kogo joining Stars at the show that happened today as we record on the 23rd. It will have happened the day before when this is released. Unagi Sayaka told her that she was not welcome to join Cosmic Angels. And she told Unagi, "I don't want to join Cosmic Angels," and ended up asking to be put in Stars. Also, Tam Nakano defeated Mei Sakurai. And she said she will let the fans know what she will do soon. That's Mei Sakurai letting the fans know what she will do soon. So it looks like she may end up possibly leaving Cosmic Angels. So we will have to see. I am excited to see some of these new people. You know, Hazuki joined Stars. Momokogo joined Stars. I'm excited to see some of these new people not just be like, there's a new person, they're in Donna Del Mundo. There's a new person, they're in Cosmic Angels. It was like for a couple months, like just split them up. Okay, you're in Cosmic Angels. Okay, you're in Donna Del Mundo. So happy to see that. And as I said last episode, I'm happy to see Momokogo in Stardom. I think she's very talented and, of course, didn't have a home after the, I guess, semi-closure of Actress Girls. Not entirely clear what's going on there.
Not unlike Ring of Honor.
Yeah, not unlike Ring of Honor, although Ring of Honor hasn't announced that the Supercard of Honor will be a wrestling show with no wrestling. As Actress Girls seems to be advertising their shows now as wrestling shows that don't have any wrestling on them.
But imagine if all of a sudden like John Gresham comes out and just starts singing.
Singing, dancing. Do you think he'd be a good dancer?
I could see it.
Yeah. I mean, I think anyone who is in wrestling has to have some kind of coordination.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see John Gresham being the kind of guy where, like, Dancing with the Stars type. Like, if he had training, all of a sudden he'd be like, oh, shit, he's really good.
Yeah, like on Dancing with the Stars. I don't watch Dancing with the Stars, but I know that seemingly every football player who goes on Dancing with the Stars does really well.
Yeah.
Because I think they're used to being like, here's what you have to do. Like, do this thing. Like, you run a route, which is the same as, like, here's the choreography of this. So I think they're used to having that sort of system. And also they're very athletic. So it's not a question of they're like, oh, I'm so tired after dancing, or like, I can't pick my partner up or anything like that.
Yeah. It's how Miz made it as far as he did. But every week he dressed like some sort of nightmare creature for some reason.
Let's get Jonathan Gresham on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah. Why not?
Hey, couldn't hurt Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
Although he's very short.
Yeah.
Which might be a disadvantage. Anyway, Tokyo Joshi had two shows that featured matches from the Max Heart 2022 tournament. One on the January 15th, which featured Asuka and Yuki Kamifuku defeating Marika Kobashi and Raku. And the other match was the Magical Sugar Rabbits being defeated by the usual January team up of Hyper Misao and Shoko Nakajima. Two good matches. Kelly, you watch these, right?
No, I did not watch these.
Oh, okay. I watched the next show. I enjoyed them. I enjoyed them. I thought they were fun. There was a second show. This one Kelly did watch. It was on January 20th with four Max Heart tournament matches. In the first one, Moka Miyamoto and Yuki Arai with a minor upset, I would call it.
Yeah, over, no, definitely.
Over Arisa Endo and Suzume. The Bakuretsu sisters teaming up for one of the last times, defeating Hikari Noah and Nao Kakuta. Asuka and Yuki Kamifuku defeating 1-2-1 million of Maki Ito and Miyu Yamashita. And in the main event of that show, Miyu Watanabe and Rika Tatsumi defeating Hyper Misao and Shoko Nakajima. Kelly, you did watch the show. What'd you think of it overall?
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a good show. The first of the tag matches, Yuki Arai impressed as always. I was honestly surprised at how much time the match got. Like, I don't know the time exactly, but I know they went past the 10-minute mark, and that was kind of surprising. I thought both teams worked really well together, and I was surprised to see Moka tap out Endo to close the match. I went 3 stars on that one. Then Bakuretsu sisters beating Free Wi-Fi was upsetting because I didn't want to see Free Wi-Fi lose. Because, come on, best name in wrestling.
Yeah, no more Free Wi-Fi for you.
Now we got to pay for Wi-Fi. It's trash. The Kamiyu and Asuka versus 1-2-1 million match was great. I actually went 4 stars on that one. I thought it was awesome. I need a singles match between Miyu and Asuka, because come on, like, their interactions were so great. And then the main was pretty good too. I went 3.5 on that one. I probably would have swapped it out with the semi-main in terms of match placement. But man, it's cool every time that Watanabe does the double giant swing. Like, that's just awesome. Like, it's so amazing to see someone pull that off.
Yeah, it's always, you know, obviously I've seen a lot of her matches, but it's always sort of like, whoa. Like, it still really impresses me when Watanabe's like picking people up and like tossing them around the ring and like grabbing people off the top rope and just carrying them around and throwing them around. I'm like, whoa, this is really cool. She feels personality wise like a lot of the rest of the roster, but like in ring wise, she feels totally unique.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's slowly becoming one of my favorites on the entire roster just because of that.
Yeah, I also really liked the semi-main. I thought it was really good. I wasn't as high as you, but I agree. I mean, I think even before this match, you probably could have said, oh, Asuka and Miyu Yamashita.
Well,
that would be a great singles match, of course. But really a great match. They set up the matches for the semifinals, which we'll talk about when we get to the upcoming shows. But overall, a super fun show. Went by very quickly. Easy watches. They're up on Wrestle Universe. So I would recommend these two shows. I mean, the first show, it's 2 matches. I think it took me like maybe 35 minutes to watch them or something.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, very quick, very easy. Easy watches. You can follow along with the tournament. I'm sure the 2 semifinal matches will be really good. So catch up there. Recommended from me, and I'm assuming recommended by Kelly.
Thumbs up.
Ice Ribbon, as we mentioned, had their Winter Story show at Corican Hall on January 16th. 2 title matches there. Yuki Mashiro defeating Maika Ozaki and Miyako Matsumoto to win the Triangle Ribbon Championship, her first title, and Tsukushi retaining her Ice Infinity title over Ibuki Hoshi. As I mentioned, I believe that comes out February 6th on Samurai. Looking forward to that main event, especially because Ibuki Hoshi had that great title match against Tsukasa Fujimoto last year that Kelly and I both really loved. Ended up on my Joshi match of the year, as well as my full wrestling match of the year, which I just submitted over at Voices of Wrestling. And I think those should be coming out soon, those top 100 matches. So excited to see where some of these Joshi matches place. I think Joshi has improved year over year every year for the past 4 or 5 years. And I think if I had to predict, and Kelly, let me know if you disagree with me, I have a feeling that the Utami Shuri match is possibly going to finish in the top 10.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I agree. I could see it. Yeah, I think top 10. I was going to say top 5, but I don't know about that, because there's too many. Well, because I was going to say there's a lot of AEW matches that could cannibalize each other. So
I just think there's points. Too much in terms of pure sort of volume from AEW. And I think there's enough New Japan stuff from like a Wrestle Kingdom or like the big shows that people might have dropped in for and been like, oh, this was really good.
Yeah.
To get it into the top. Because I'm thinking like there's probably 3 or 4 matches from AEW alone that I would be like, yeah, these are definitely going to be in the top 10, yeah, if not higher. So you're already talking about probably 2 AEW matches, probably, you know, 1 or 2 other like New Japan matches. And a lot of the the people who were like, hey, I voted, here's my top 10. Like Shiri and Utami was like number 7, number 5, mm-hmm. number 6. So it isn't a thing where it's like blowing things away. And I know that the top 3 are getting like hundreds of votes.
Yeah.
It's like 200 ballots or something or some crazy number where they're like far and away high. So I guess it could happen. But also I weirdly think that them having the rematch at the end of the year that some people thought was better might also hurt because some people may go, oh, that one was better. But I thought the same thing last year with the, what was it? Mayu Julia matches or something. Was that it? It was a match with Mayu and, oh no, Takumi Iroha.
Oh,
and they had
yeah, yeah.
two matches in the year and some people liked the first one better and some people liked the second one. I went, well, these two matches are going to cannibalize themselves because mm-hmm. people are going to split. But I think the first one ended up being the high Joshi match. I think it was like 14th on the list or something.
Okay. Yeah, I think so maybe, I think you know Utami Siri will break the top 10. I don't know if it'll be the top ranking women's match because I think Britt versus Thunder Rosa has a shot at beating it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll see. This is the fun, you know. It is more fun to. It's a lot more fun to debate this than usual, like 3 years ago when we were like, can a Joshi match get in the top 40 yeah. of this list? And you're like, probably not.
I do think that no matter what, it'll outrank any WWE match this year because what do they have that got buzz?
I know that of what's been submitted so far, that Stardom has more matches on the list or did a week ago or whatever it was, has more matches on the list than WWE does.
Wild.
Which, yes, is crazy, but it's a lot more. I think I talked about this a long time ago on this podcast because someone asked what would it take to get a really high, you know, a Joshi match up really high. And I talked about, you know, in years past, it was this weird combination of like timing and it had to be like a match that was in the later half of the year so that it would be on people's minds.
Yep.
It had to sort of break through that people outside of Joshi were watching it and knew about it.
You got to get like a Dave rating on it or something.
Which was why like the Wrestle Princess match did really good. The Yuka Mizuki Wrestle Princess match did really good because it was in November. It got hype outside of Joshi. But now I feel like with Stardom sort of doing these big shows all the time, that may not be true anymore, at least for Stardom.
Yeah, I think anyone else it needs to be later in the year, but Stardom I could see just kind of whenever being fine now.
Because they're big enough. Dave talks about them a lot in The Observer. So we'll see, but I'm excited to see the list. I had some other match, you know, I had the Gaia match, which was my number one match of the year. I'm excited to see where that finishes because I know a handful of people who have it quite high, but that's one where I don't know if it got beyond the world of sort of big Joshi fans to make a big difference. Like I voted it first. I know some people who voted it, you know, second, third. Didn't you have it like third? Kelly,
I had it
or
pretty
second,
high.
Or...
I don't remember any of my numbers because I had to switch stuff around. Got it somewhere.
Well, it moved up one slot because your number one match of the
it
year
definitely
was,
did.
Was DQ'd.
I don't know. I don't have my list anywhere. Where did I delete that from my phone? Was I just so mad? I was just like, I can't do this anymore.
I'll vote, but after that, I'm deleting any thought of this list.
Okay, so I had it at number 3.
Okay. And I know some people who had it at 2, some people had it at 3. So we'll see, you know. We'll see. Anyway, back to the last 2 weeks. Diana had a show on the 23rd. It was the end of their short title tournament, Nagisa Nosaki defeating Ayako Sato to become the Diana World Champion. So that's exciting. Nosaki, once again, a singles champion after spending some time as the Wave, some controversial time as Wave singles champion, where a lot of people liked her reign and a lot of people didn't like her reign. So we'll see what happens with Diana. Wave had two shows, one on the 16th. Hikari Shimizu and Saki retained their tag titles over Nagisa Nosaki and Takumi Iroha. And Wave had a Wave versus Color show today. That show aired on YouTube. It's still up on YouTube. It's a fun little show, nothing major, a very easy show to get through. It took me about an hour and 15 minutes, some singles matches between wrestlers from each company. But I was happy to see, you know, a show get put up on YouTube. That sort of putting shows up on YouTube, at least, you know, live like this one was, although now it's in the sort of on-demand format, has sort of gone down. In the last number of months, as we've slowly moved out of all the COVID stuff. During COVID, there was tons of shows on YouTube. That has gone less and less. But I was happy to see them put that show up. If you want to see more, I would always advocate giving that a watch, because if they see a lot of people are watching it, they're more likely to put more shows on YouTube. And that is, as we said, not a ton to talk about for the last 2 weeks. That is all we have. And we are going to go on. We asked for some questions from listeners. But before we do that, I want to mention that this episode of Jumping Bomb Audio is sponsored by HelloFresh. HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get farm fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. And let me tell you, the new year is a great time to focus on what's most important to you. Whether it's saving money by ordering less takeout, learning to cook, or prioritizing your wellness, HelloFresh is here to help with endless options to make cooking at home simple and enjoyable. And HelloFresh, listen to this, is 72% cheaper than a restaurant meal of the same quality. And you can save on average over $65 per month when you order HelloFresh instead of grocery shopping. That's more money to put towards those other 2022 goals of yours. Get some tasty meals. I know where I am here in New York, it's very cold outside. Don't really like going outside. It's freezing cold. So it's really nice to get something delivered right to my doorstep to be able to cook it without having to go out, find something, order delivery, which often gets expensive. So HelloFresh has a great offer for our listeners. Go to HelloFresh.com/VOW16 and use the code VOW16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. That's right. If you go to HelloFresh.com/VOW16 and use the code VOW16, you can get up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. A great offer from HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. So as I mentioned, we asked for some questions from the listeners. Not a huge amount of questions this time, but we will start with the first one. All of these come from the Voices of Wrestling Discord. There's a channel all about Jumping Bomb Audio there if you ever want to talk about the show. I'm often in there. Kelly's in there as well.
I lurk.
You can talk with us. Yes, you lurk. So you can talk with us if you agree with us, if you disagree with us. That's a great place to do it. Had lots of conversations there. But the first question is, what changes do you anticipate for Seedling? Will there even be any changes? New people booked, new angles, some people who were maybe close with Nanai not being booked anymore. Basically asking for an outlook for Seedlings 2022. I will say, I think it's going to be very interesting. I sort of think of, and we've talked about this on the show before, you know, the Chaco Pro. Sort of what happened with Chaco Pro, where Chaco Pro was sort of being booked by Ami Sakura. You know, they had these intricate storylines, very sort of emotional, long-term stories. She leaves, and those stories sort of dissipated. It's now more of a straight wrestling show. I do wonder if they are going to start booking Seedling. You know, Seedling, one aspect of the promotion that I've really liked as I've watched it over the number of years is they do have these great story. They've had these great storylines, some of them which are very long term. I do wonder if now that Nanai is gone, if they pull back on those, maybe waiting for her to return to do those. I think in terms of booking people, I think it's a really interesting time. As we mentioned with the, all the actress girls stuff going on, there's a lot of people out there who are, you know, able to be booked. You can bring people in. Seedling's not a promotion that's going to be signing anyone, which I think often limits sort of what their roster is going to be, because there's really, they really don't sign anyone. They have their main core group, and that's all they do. So I think there could be, maybe you see some new people booked to give them a chance. But I think, as it's always been, I think they're going to sort of stick with the core signed roster and then the usual people that they've brought in over the years. Kelly, what do you think?
Yeah, it's weird. I'm not sure how it's going to go. I mean, now you've got, like, you could bring in a group like Prominence, and there you go. Now you've got a story for a couple of months of, hey, we're fighting off this invading hardcore army. So, like, you could always do stuff like that. Outside of that, I honestly don't know what the outlook for the company will be. Do we think, like, she's coming back? Like, what's the read on that? Because I can't really get a read on that.
I don't know. You always think, I mean, with just wrestling in general, that people will come back. I mean, you talk about the list of people who are like, I'm out of here, you know, and I'm talking about big, not like some guy from a local promotion who's like, I'm tired of wrestling. I'm talking like big people who are like, I'm done. Like, I'm out. Like we saw it in AEW in 2021, you know, CM Punk was a guy who was like, no, I'm done. You know, Bryan Danielson was out for years in WWE and came back. And there was Edge, who, you know, I don't know when it would be, but my thought is always that people are going to come back, especially people who are so involved. You know, this is Nanai's promotion, you know, founded by her. So I think that she may come back, but I don't know if they're sitting there, whoever's doing the booking now is sitting there going, okay, she's going to be back in, you know, a year or whatever. I'm just making a number up. I think they might be operating on the thing of like, okay, she's gone and we have to do our own thing now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that makes sense. I could see it just kind of being the same, but just without her for a while until they kind of find their footing again. And you have to assume, like, Yoshiko will come back this year, probably.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where I think we have to sort of see, once we see a couple shows, we'll sort of figure it out, because I think they're at the point now, sort of with the way they're set up, with the champions that they have, to, you know, with Risa being the singles champion, with Asuka and Makoto being the tag champions, that they're sort of new champions. And you have the opportunity, if they do want to sort of set storylines up, that they're sort of starting with a fresh slate with new, you know, new champions, new year. This is sort of for the upcoming 2 weeks, but they did announce that their January 28 show is canceled because a number of people tested positive for COVID. So unfortunately, sort of that first opportunity to see like, ah, here's Seedlings 2022 is not going to happen, but they have a show a few weeks later. I mean, I would hope personally that they sort of just continue on the path that they've been on, which is, you know, doing the storyline type stuff that they've been doing, also having good matches. But we'll see. You know, it's not easy to do, as we always talk about. So they may just say, okay, well, we just want to put on good matches with interesting wrestlers and see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's that's the easy option, and that's what makes the most sense for now, especially because with COVID, you don't really want to put your entire promotion behind one person that could go down for 2 weeks and ruin a big main event or something.
Yeah, it's I mean, the COVID stuff is all weird where it feels mostly like I think people have sort of gotten to the stage of like, well, we've moved on. There was a lot of talk about like, oh, well, you got to save your matches for after COVID's done. But it, now at this point, it's like, when is this actually ever going to be done?
Yeah, I mean, the way I look at it now is Shibata came back in front of a COVID crowd. You can just do whatever.
Yeah, it's like if you're saving stuff, you're sort of saving it with the understanding that it may be, you know, another year before you can do it. And is it worth holding on to something for a year if you're then spending a whole year sort of spinning your wheels?
Yeah.
Otherwise,
especially when like small will still land, even if there's the COVID restrictions, a big moment like that will still matter.
Yeah. And if you do that, or if you don't do a big moment, it's sort of like, are you losing even more momentum? Because people are like, well, they're not doing anything, so, you know, forget about them.
Yeah.
You know, sort of thing. But it's going to be interesting to see. As I said, see, you know, as people know who listen, Seedling's one of my favorite promotions. I do think their second half of 2022 was not bad, but it felt like sort of they did go a little bit into wheel spinning mode. I don't know if that was because of Nanai's stuff, you know, what was going on with her, and then she came out. But we'll see. But I hope that they continue to do storylines, because I think that in terms of the Joshi scene, I think they're one of the better promotions at doing these sort of interesting storylines, weaving in, you know, title matches. They have a great roster. They bring in really exciting outside talent. So my fingers are always crossed for Seedling. Although, Kelly, you did remind me there was one show which did happen in the last 2 weeks, which I neglected to put in the recap. Because they have not started as an official promotion yet, but there was the Prominence pre-launch event.
Oh, yeah.
Which I know you and I had strong feelings on. So I'm sort of surprised that I forgot it. My thought was, I know there's a crowd out there that's like, Prominence is a bad idea, it's stupid. I don't think that. I'm very excited for Prominence. I think they've got a great core roster. I think that they can do a lot of really exciting stuff. That being said, I think the pre-launch event did not look good.
Nope.
It did not make me more excited to see the shows. You know, obviously, I'll still watch the shows. I'm very excited for them. I thought it looked very low rent.
It looked bad. It looked really bad.
It's one of those things where I was watching it and I was like, well, this is sort of like Choco Pro.
Yeah, I wanted to say apologize to Choco Pro.
But like Choco Pro's thing is like, that is the... that's the thing. Like, you go in and part of the buy-in is this is the way it looks.
Yeah. This is their house. You do things their way. This was just, I don't know. We decided to run this venue. There's no room for a ring. We're just going to put down mats in front of the stage and put up a weird fence in front of the mats.
Yeah. And I just turned it up. Like, I was excited. I was like, ooh, a pre-launch event. This is really exciting. It's on WrestleView Universe. It's really easy to see. And I turned it on and I was just like, oh gosh. You know, I'm a big presentation guy. I mean, one of the reasons I love that Gaia show was that they went all out. They were like, oh, we've got entrance videos. And, you know, I understand this is the pre-launch event. You know, you're just sort of explaining, but I feel like having them appear elsewhere would be a better sort of pre-launch, like have them appear on a show, like do an ice ribbon. Cause I know they're doing that ice, or they did that ice ribbon match, but like have them appear on an ice ribbon Korakin and just be like, this is a Prominence match, or have them appear on a Tokyo Joshi show and be like, yeah, this is prominence or wherever. I'm just sort of throwing things out. But I just thought, I was just like, oh, this is not this is not sort of what I was hoping this thing would be.
No, and like, Suzu bladed on that show, and I was like, man, you did not need to do that. There was a prominence match on, what was it? I was just looking through stuff on Cage Match from yesterday. There was a Real Japan show. There's a prominence match where Akane Fujita and Risa Sera took on Jaguar Yokota and Tiger Queen. So they are working other places.
Yeah.
I kind of wish that show had made tape. That sounds like a fun match.
But of course, then there's the other thing of, you know, these pre-launch events are happening on Wrestle Universe, and then the proper launch, which is in April, hasn't been announced, and my biggest fear is that these shows happen and don't make tape, and this all sort of loses the momentum sort of like new groups, like the big joint shows that they were doing last year, you know, the like, oh, all these promotions are banding together. I was really excited for those. The first one was really good. And then it just felt like air being let out of the balloon. And then they were like, well, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's always my fear with new promotions, is it's like, oh, I'm really excited. This could be really great. And then it turns out it's like half of what I thought it was. And then it's done.
If the prominence main show isn't on Wrestle Universe, I hope it ends up on, like, they just put it on YouTube or something.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it ends up somewhere to watch, most importantly.
Yeah.
You know, but sort of not the strongest start for me personally. But again, like I said, I'm still looking forward to it. So, you know, we'll see what happens. The next question, this one, pretty straightforward, is from Rika Tatsumi in the Discord. By the way, that first question about Seedling was from Velkij Bracha in the Discord. This one comes from Rika Tatsumi in the Discord. The Rika Tatsumi. Is 2022 the year Mika Iwata wins a singles title? I will say personally, based on history, never bet on Mika Iwata winning. So I'm going to say no.
I'll say I hope so, because she's cool. I like her.
Yeah, I certainly hope so, but the past has... the past is not a good indicator.
Big Momo energy.
The next question from 10410, I believe is how you say it, or maybe 10410 in the Discord. Do you ever see Stardom disbanding the stables or stop using the stables the way that they do now? I'll start with Kelly.
Certainly not, because that's just another booking crutch they can use. They've got all these titles and all these groups. Like, hey, just throw together some shows like that. It's super easy.
Well, and, you know, a lot of promotions use this sort of state. I mean, New Japan is one. Obviously, Dragon Gate is a big one. But even now, we'll talk about in a second, Marvelous is doing sort of a thing like that. So it's an easy way to... And it's the way Stardom's been for so long. I don't know that there would be any reason for them to do it. Like, I don't know if they were like, oh, we're everyone for themselves. Like, then what would that sort of look like? Like, even AEW sort of does this thing where it's like, ah, we're working together, even though they're not running around going, oh, we have stables, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
There's still people sort of in these loose groups, I guess I would say.
It just wouldn't make sense to just disband them all, because would everyone just be like, okay, we're not allowed to be friends anymore? Like, no one is friends with anyone anymore.
Yeah, I just don't see any. And then it's like, oh, we're going to do a 6-person tag. Like, how do you determine what groups people are, you know?
Yeah.
It's a sort of a natural thing, because you have, you know, you have multi-person matches. Like, you have to have some sort of coordination with other people. So I just don't see it ever happening, especially with Stardom that's been doing it really for a long, long time. I don't see it happening.
Nah.
The next question is from Ice Age Coming in the Discord, And this is a vote. Marvelous Team Red, Team Yellow, Team Blue, Team Purple, or Team Black. And Kelly, I'll give you the teams and you tell me which is your favorite. Team Red, Takumi Iroha, Hibiscus Me, Riku Kawahata, Miyako Matsumoto, and Saki Akai. Team Yellow is Chikayo Nagashima, Yurika Oka, Ai Hozan, and Ancham. Team Blue is newly Asuka, Rin Katakura, Itsuki Aoki, and Yu. Team Purple is Maria and Makoto. And Team Black is Tomoko Watanabe, Kaoru Ito, and Sakura Hirota. So what's your favorite team there,
Kelly? I'd go Team Red, because Takumi Iroha is cool. I like Saki Akai a lot, and Miyako Matsumoto is always up to some nonsense. So yeah, no, Team Red for sure.
Yeah, Team Red very strong, although I have to vouch, Team Purple, Maria has always been my, you know, there's much less of them around now, but Maria was always my marvelous rookie from the beginning, so always a big fan of Maria. And Makoto, I think, has been someone who has improved year over year. A couple of years ago, if you would have had a big match with Makoto, I would have said, am I excited for this? Now I am excited. I mean, she's gotten a lot better. I think she's very good now. So I'll throw a vote behind Team Purple. And the final question, although I think Kelly may have a classic Kelly bonus question.
I do. And I have another question that I came up with. So we've got two more after this one.
All right. So from Mass Cabana in the Discord, predict who will be holding the main title for each promotion at the end of the year. This is a very interesting question. So I guess we'll just go down the list. We'll start with the big one, which is Stardom. Who do you think will be holding, I'm going to say the red belt at the end of the year. I would say that that's their big belt. Currently held by Shuri. Who do you think will be holding it, Kelly, at the end of 2022, December 31st, 2022?
I feel like with Stardom, you can just go with the bet it on black message and just go with Mayu. Like, that seems like a safe bet.
I'm going to say it's going to be Julia.
Yeah.
I think would be my pick. I think that she probably defeats Shuri for the title at some point, and they have shown that they are sort of willing to go with longer title reigns for this. I think if she wins it, you know, sort of like mid-year, let's just say, she could hold it for a while through the end of the year, and then you work on building up, I don't know, whoever would be next. I can't even think of who that would be. Whoever that would be, but I you know, seems like sort of a safe bet to go with Julia. But, you know, that's my pick. So we'll then go with Seedling, currently held by Risa Nakajima, who will be holding the Beyond the Sea title, Kelly.
I'm going with, we're getting Yoshiko comeback, and then she'll be the champ. That's my guess.
I was thinking the same exact thing. I think when she comes back, she's going to win the title. I think they're sort of waiting for that to happen. So that is also, that would also be my pick. Tokyo Joshi, the Princess of Princess Championship, currently held by Miyu Yamashita. Kelly, who will be holding that title at the end of 2022?
I was thinking about this earlier this morning. What if Miyu just has the belt, like, forever? Like, she's just a super champion for like a long, long time. So I'm going with Miyu. I think she's going to hold it through the entire year.
I'm going to take a big swing. I'm continuously wrong about Tokyo Joshi, but I am going to take a big swing. I'm going to will it into happening, and I'm going to say it's going to be Maki Ito. I hope you're right. I think it has to be.
Yeah.
I think it has to be. Just because if she wins, if she doesn't have it at the end of the year, I think it means she didn't win it at all in 2022.
Yeah.
Which to me would be like, uh-oh, like what's going on? Yeah, that would be my pick, but I've been wrong so much about Tokyo Joshi.
Well, you know, we're both going to be wrong, and it'll just be like Rika Tatsumi or something.
I mean, I think Shoko Nakajima could win the title at Sumo Hall.
Yeah.
That's why I'm like, I don't think it'll be Miyu. I just think, like, based on what I think, I'm starting to do the thing where I'm like, what do I think? Okay, Tokyo Joshi will do the opposite of that. So I'm like, I would keep the title on Miyu, which means Shoko Nakajima is going to win the title.
Yeah.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
We'll do Ice Ribbon. What do we think about Ice Ribbon? I'm throwing it over to you, Kelly, again, because I'm going to try and think about this while you answer.
Yeah, no, Ice Ribbon is such a toss up right now. I guess maybe go back to Fujimoto.
Because if Prominence hadn't broken away, I would say Suzu.
Yeah, like, exactly.
That seems like an obvious one.
And they still could, depending on how things shake out. But yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Like, is it one of the young, like, do they try? And also a thing is that any one of these sort of younger wrestlers at any point, they could be like, now this person, like they sort of did that with Suzu a couple of years ago. Where it was like, okay, she's retiring the bicycle thing and she's going away. And like at the beginning of the year, I'm not sure that people would have said, oh, she's going to retire, you know, she's going to retire her gimmick thing that she does and, you know, change her whole character and become big. Like maybe I could see them trying with like Maika Ozaki just as someone who's sort of like in the sort of mid level but has gotten the sort of higher chances, you know. She just lost the triangle ribbon, she had the tag titles for a while. I mean, really, now I'm looking at their roster, and really that's the one. It's like Ibuki Hoshi maybe, but she just lost a title shot, like, and I guess they are capable of having someone, Totoro Tsatsuki could all of a sudden come out of nowhere and win the title. But I'm gonna swing big and say Mike Ozaki. Okay. That's going to be my prediction.
Yeah, I'll just go with Old Faithful and just say Tsukasa.
Who else should we go with here? Let's do Sendai Girls. The thing about Sendai Girls is they barely ever have any title matches.
Honestly, I couldn't tell you who their champion is right now.
It's Hashimoto.
Okay, then Hashimoto. there we go. That's what I was going to say, but I was like, I don't know that for sure. So yeah, no, Hashimoto's just going to have it forever.
It's Hashimoto who has held the belt now for 833 days.
Yeah,
and has had 5 defenses.
Yeah, no, Hashimoto then. Yep.
Hashimoto. She had that defense against Takumi Iroha in November. So she won the belt from Sarri back in October of 2019, defended it a couple days before COVID hit on March 8th, 2020, then went an entire year, technically, quote unquote, did defend it at the Gaia show because all the titles were on the line.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
then defended it the next month against Mio, and then November, 5 defenses. So yeah. Really one title win. So the first one actually wasn't a defense. She's had 4 defenses.
Yeah.
And that one on the 8th was against Shuri where she, I think where she knocked her, was that the, no, that was the rematch. Because in January of 2020, they had that match where Chihiro got like shoot knocked out. At the beginning of the year, and they had the rematch, and Chihiro won against Shuri. That was before Shuri was in. That was even before Shuri was in Stardom. Jeez.
Yeah.
So sure, you want to go with Hashimoto?
Yeah, just keep on going. Just keep on rolling.
Her 5th reign lasting 833 days. So she must be well over. Is she over like 1,500? Days as champion. Well, remember the first couple reigns were she would like win it from someone and then she'd lose it. And then so first reign 85 days, then lost it to Aja Kong, then won it back, had it for 65 days, lost it to Hiroyu Matsumoto, got it back, and then held it almost a year and lost it to Ayako Hamada, who then had to vacate the title because she got busted for drugs.
Who then did some meth.
And then it's been, 349 days, lost it to Sarri, and then got it back and has had it for 833 days. So, yeah, that's a good... I mean, Hashimoto's a pretty solid...
Yeah, I feel safer in that one than even with the Mayu bet. Like
safe pick. So those are... our predictions for the big promotions, who will be singles champion. So Kelly, I will throw it to you for the final, I guess wrestling related question you have, and then the non-wrestling related question you have, which I'll let you answer yourself.
All right. So my question that I'm asking the show, including myself, is what do you want to see in 2022 in Joshi?
I mean, the thing I want to see in 2022 in Joshi is the thing I want to see in 2022 in wrestling in general, which is the crowds.
Yeah.
Come back. I mean, I have to say, we've talked about it on the show, although we probably, for how much I think about it, we probably don't talk about it that much as a percentage. But the clapping, I think to me it's made things very difficult in a way now that at the beginning it was sort of like, oh, you have to adjust to this. You have to get used to it. Now it's just sort of a thing that I'm like, oh, this is the way it works, that actively hampers my enjoyment of almost all wrestling that I watch. But I don't really think about it because now it's like, yeah, this is just the way it is. And the way it is a way I don't like it, but I'm not sitting there every match going, oh my God, they're not clapping.
It's Chris Jericho's Japan.
I mean, but I think the clap crowds coming back also will, I mean, it's more, or not the clap crowds coming back, like full crowds being able to cheer coming back, I think will affect a lot of things more than even just, oh, now they can cheer. Like, I think schedules will be more normalized and there will be more, like, I just think it will help every aspect of things where it's like the buildings will be more full and they'll be doing, they'll be cheering and the schedules will be more normal and like everything will do that. And I think, promotions like Stardom may get, a lot of times I'm like, oh, their presentation is the same every show. And I'm like, probably part of that is they don't want to spend a lot on production when, they're running these huge venues and they're only, X amount full. And I'm like, maybe that will improve the production everywhere in all of wrestling, New Japan had Wrestle Kingdom this year and went really low, sort of didn't have the screens above the ring, didn't have a lot of these things. I mean, that really is my one hope, because really looking, we talked about our match of the year. I mean, my match of the year ratings were way down. I mean, usually in a sort of typical year of wrestling, my top 10 is usually composed of a handful of 5-star matches, like, and then mostly 4 3/4 matches and maybe 1 4.5-star match. This year I had like 5 4.5-star matches on my top 10. I only had 3 total, all of wrestling, 5-star wow. matches. I only had 1 5-star match in all of Joshi. This year, usually I have, you know, 4 or 5. So I think it's just an overall. I mean, I think there's a lot of good workers. Like, I don't know that there's things the companies are doing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just this overall sort of malaise that I just sit there and I'm like, oh, you know, you sit there and the matches start and it's an absolute silence. And then it's like, clap, clap, clap. I'm like, ugh, I just can't do it anymore.
Nah.
What's yours?
What I want to see, there's 2 things. I want to see prominence succeed in whatever success looks like to them. I want that to happen. And then I also want to see Gleet expand their women's division. Like one person I thought of that I really actually want to see in Gleet is Cherry, because she's a battle arts veteran and she's actually really good at that kind of UWF style. So I hope they bring her in and maybe just run more UWF shows, run more women's matches on the UWF shows. But yeah, I want to see them expand their women's stuff for sure.
Those are 2 good ones. That also reminded me, another thing we didn't talk about in the recap is, well, this is from a while ago, but I do have to recommend to everyone that Freedoms, Kelly, I know you watch this match as well, but Freedoms put up from January 3rd on their YouTube,
yeah,
the match between Rina Yamashita and Jun Kasai, the hardcore match they had there. Both Kelly and I watched that. I think we might have had identical ratings. I went 4.25.
Yeah, I just went 4.
Okay. So I was 4.25. Kelly was 4. It's if you enjoy hardcore matches, and this is like a real, you know, not like a Tokyo Joshi hardcore match. This is like
there's
a real thing.
No,
if
toys.
You enjoy that, there's no toys. There's no kaiju being destroyed to make Kelly worry about loss on investment. but if you enjoy that style, it's a really good match. It's available on the Freedoms YouTube. It's pretty short. I think the whole match is like 15 minutes or something.
Yeah, something like that.
So definitely worth checking out. That. And Kelly, you have the last question, which is only for you. So I will go silent at this moment and let you do this.
Okay, this is from my friend Mahoney. And he asks us, imagine you're at a crowded beach and you're going to poop. No stopping it. It's happening. Do you poop in the sand or in the water? The water and the sand are equally crowded. So I was thinking about this a lot yesterday. So what I would do is I would just be real chill, just sitting in the sand, you know, just being a real chill guy, just slowly, while no one's watching, digging a hole underneath myself, just like, you know, digging a little hole. And even if someone noticed, they'd be like, wow, look at that chill guy digging a hole. He's going to bury himself. I bet he's going to have a great time. And then just get in the hole a little bit, leave a little room at the bottom, and then just pull the swim trunks or whatever down a little bit and just poop in the hole. And then just, you know, pull them up, put some sand over it like I'm a kitty. And there we go. Problem solved. Taylor, what would you do?
Great. I would go in the water.
Okay.
anyway, the upcoming shows in Joshi. Stardom has their next big show on January 29th, Nagoya Supreme Fight. Pretty fun card. It starts the opening dark match. I believe it's going to be a dark match. A battle royal with Mei Sakurai, Waka Tsukiyama, Momo Kogo, Saki Kashima, Ruaka, Fukigen Death, and Hina. Kelly, who do you think emerges from this battle royal as a winner? Pretty interesting. Battle. They don't do a lot of battle royals in Stardom.
I feel like, why not Momo Kogo? She's new, like, might as well give her a little shine, but probably, like, someone from Widow Tai. Or they'll all get dumped out at the same time or something.
Yeah, I think Momo is a good... Or maybe Mai Sakurai wins to build into this whatever she's doing with Cosmic Angels.
That's a bit, like, I just kept thinking when you were... When, you know, she said, like, oh, just wait to see what I'm going to do. Like, there's... In the back of my head, I'm like, who gives a shit?
Just you wait. It's a threat.
Yeah.
The first, I believe, official match on the card is for the Future of Stardom title, the champion Hanan going up against Lady C. I mean, to me, I think that this could be one of the better Future of Stardom title matches. So I am looking forward to this one.
Yeah, that could be a good match.
And really, I think it could go either way. I think Hanan could probably use the victory to sort of solidify her reign, but I could see it going to a new member of Queen's Quest, Lady C.
That's right. She is in Queen's Quest. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Yeah. The next match, a tag match, I believe a grudge match here, they would call it, or Gabe Sapolsky would certainly call it a grudge match. The Queen's Quest team, Utami and Azumi, going up against the Oedo Tai duo of Momo Watanabe and Starlight Kid. Should be another very good match. Nothing on the line here, but should be fun. You know, good match at the beginning of the card to wake the crowd up a little bit.
Yeah.
The next match is for the vacant SWA title, Mina Shirakawa, going up against one of the newest members of the Stardom roster, Tekla. To me, I see Tekla winning because I think that there's more possibilities with the SWA title.
Because, yeah, they still do the gimmick with that where it's people from different countries against each other, right?
Correct. They fudged it when Suri won it because she is half Japanese, so she was able to defend it against other Japanese people. But if Tekla won it, that would be easy. You wouldn't have to think about
exactly
any of that stuff. The next match, the tag title, Goddesses of Stardom title match, the champions, the new champions, Koguma and Hazuki, taking on the Dana Del Mundo duo of Maika and Himika. Kelly, do you see a title change, a quick title change here?
I don't see a title change, but can we talk about Maika, like, losing her mind and becoming a bear?
Sure. You can talk about that all.
What has happened? Like, I've always said she has crazy eyes. Like, that's one thing I've always said. But it's really coming out now that she's got the bear costume on and is, like, foraging for berries and stuff. Like, what? She's lost it.
Well, I will say that for a long time I've said that she doesn't have a very strong personality, and this is certainly one way to, I guess, show some personality.
I kind of like that. Yeah, she's just like, here's my personality. I'm a fucking weirdo. Just gonna dress up like a bear and become a bear. And is the idea that she's going to be more of a bear than Koguma is? Because, like, that's her thing. She's like, no, I'm going all the way. I'm going to go dig around in the forest for things and just wear this costume and look crazy all the time.
I'm going to become an actual bear.
Yeah. I hope she wrestles the match in the bear suits.
You never know. Stranger things have happened. The next match is for the Wonder of Stardom title. The champion, new champion, another new champion, Sayaka Matani, going up against Unagi Sayaka. This is one I don't know that I can see Unagi winning with Saya as new champion, but should be an interesting match, a big test for Saya and Unagi, but certainly for Saya as the new champion. We will see how that one goes.
I feel like that match could either be really good or could fall apart and be really bad. Just because they both have those matches where, like, if something goes wrong, it just kind of goes. But, like, they can do really good work. So I hope it goes well.
Yeah, I'm still interested. I still think Saya Kamatani's match structuring needs some work. And I'm a bit concerned being in there with Unagi. Like, yeah. When she's in there with some more experienced people, it can sort of go through, you know, it can sort of get through that. But, you know, sort of interested to see how that all plays out. The next match is the World of Stardom Challenge three-way battle. So the way that this will work is it is a three-way match, elimination style, I guess you would call it. The person who gets the first pinfall or submission will challenge the winner of the World of Stardom title match on March 26th. It will then go to a one-on-one match, and the winner of that match will challenge for the World of Stardom title on March 27th, the following day. This three-way battle between Mayu Iwatani, Tom Nakano, and Julia. So, Kelly, who do you think are the two people, the two wrestlers who win a title challenge here?
That's hard. It's hard to pick two winners in a match. Because then it's just, well, who loses? I don't think Julia loses. Do I think Mayu loses or Tom loses? Maybe Mayu, because again, if she loses, who cares? She's the icon of Stardom. It doesn't matter. So I'm going to go with the winners are Tom and Julia.
All right. I'm going to go with the winners are Tom and Mayu.
Oh.
And because I think it's too early for Julia to have a title match with Shuri, because I think she's going to win the title.
Yeah, and no, that's a good point.
I think what happens is, I'm going to do some booking prediction. I think Tom wins first. She gets the title match on the 26th and loses. Mayu wins second and gets the title match on the 27th, and they go to a time limit draw.
Okay. That makes sense.
Because I think then you can build up, oh, Shuri, two title matches in one. You know, she won one. Then she was very tired. She couldn't beat Mayu, but she didn't lose. Just because I think it's slightly too early, because I think Julia is going to be the next holder of the title. So I think it's slightly too early to give Julia a title shot unless the Stardom's thought is, well, Shuri is just a placeholder. And then, you know, it could be like a Mayu Julia situation where Shuri goes to a draw with Mayu or something, and then the next night loses to Julia, and the whole thought is like, well, she had to wrestle twice in, you know, two nights. It was very hard. You know, she went to the time limit draw against Mayu. So I guess I could see something like that.
Yeah, no, that fits.
But funny, we're already plugging in Shuri, because the main event of this show, the World of Stardom title match, Shuri defending her title against the newly debuting Mirai. I think this is too soon for Mirai to have a title match. She hasn't literally, she's done almost nothing in this company.
Yeah, no, establishing the lost post of Donna Del Mundo, possibly.
Yeah. You know, it happens sometimes. The wrestler debuts, they get a title match. She will lose. I think I would put Mirai winning in about half of 1%.
I think. Yeah, I think I feel like, fluke, and even that is kind of generous. Yeah, it's Shuri needs to like fall and break her leg, and they're just like, I don't know, have Mirai win.
It's also interesting because it's higher than, you know, Mirai in Tokyo Joshi, a company that in-ring wise, I think everyone would probably agree, on the whole, is not as strong as Stardom. And it isn't like Mirai was at the top of the company with Miyu Yamashita, you know, as these majorly established, you know, all-time workers, and now it's like, okay, one of your first big show, you're main eventing.
Mm-hmm.
Could she deliver? I think she certainly is capable. She has the potential, but it's a big spot for someone who is moving essentially from the mid-card of a non-in-ring focused promotion, or historically non-in-ring based promotion, to the main event of an in-ring based promotion. So we'll see. I have my fingers crossed. I think it certainly could be good. I mean, Siri was my wrestler of the year last year. So if anyone can pull it out, I have faith in Siri, but we will see. But overall, I think an interesting card. I'm glad to have the tag titles back to sort of break up this single match. They have the three-way match. They have a battle royal. So overall, I think a pretty fun looking card.
Yeah, it's a different looking card for once for them. So I'm excited for this show.
Stardom is also going to have a show a few days later on February 1st at Corican Hall. Of course, they haven't announced anything for that show yet because it's going to be based on what happens at this big show on the 29th. And they also have a show on the 6th at Sendai Pit. Seedling, as I mentioned
Sendai
a little...
Pit. Being like the pit thing from like that ICW No Holds Barred runs. I hope that's true. I want to see them fighting in an MMA cage that's full of like doors.
Seedling, as I mentioned, was going to have a show on January 28th, but that was canceled because a number of wrestlers tested positive for COVID. So that show has been canceled. Oz Academy has a show on February 6th with a tag title match main event, Hiroya Matsumoto and Rina Yamashita defending against Mei Suruga and Momoko Hanazono. That should be a fun match.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. And then a three-way semi-main event, Mayumi Ozaki against Kaori Oniyama and Ram Kaichou. So another sort of interesting match there. Tokyo Joshi has a show on January 29th. With the Max Hart Tournament semifinal matches, which will be Rika Tatsumi and Miyu Watanabe going up against Moko Miyamoto and Yuki Arai. And on the other side, the Bakuretsu sisters, Nodoka Tenma and Yuki Aino, going up against Yuki Kamifuku and Asuka. I'm fingers crossed, I'm hoping for a Rika, Miyu, Yuki, Asuka final.
Yes.
Personally. That is what I'm hoping for, because I think that match would be great, and I think either team would make good challengers for Magical Sugar Rabbits. So that is my fingers crossed, but of course, now that I've said it, and I hope that it happens in Tokyo Joshi, that means it won't happen.
Well, I think for sure we can say that Tatsumi and Watanabe are going to the finals.
Yeah, I would predict that.
It's the Bakuretsu sisters that could screw everything up for us.
Yeah, I could easily see the Bakuretsu sisters winning and doing like a one final challenge thing at Sumo Hall. Although part of me is like, would they do that if it's like, well, Tenma's leaving. Like, would they do that?
Yeah, I wouldn't.
But I could also see them winning this match and then maybe Rika and Miyu win like the final. And it's like, oh, the Bakuretsu sisters, they got so close. You know, that could be the story. Like, they got so close. And then you have Rika, you know, you have, you know, Yuka, Mizuki, and Rika in a big match there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your Princess of Princess title match is big, you know, with Miyu and Shoko. Then you would have four pretty big names in the tag match. And then you have Maki Ito against whoever. For the international princess. So that would be pretty four pretty big matches, but
really I just want Kamiyu and Asuka to win overall. I really
like Yes, I would love that, cuz I think that they would have a great match. But you know, we'll see. I don't know what their plan is just because it's Asuka and an outsider if they want that to main event.
Yeah.
But we will see. Sendai Girls has a show on February 4th. Two pretty fun tag matches at the top. Chihiro Hashimoto and Manami against Sayori Ono and Asuka. Speaking of Asuka. And the main event, Dash Chizako and Hiroyu Matsumoto against Mika Iwata and Miyuki Takase. So two fun matches there. Ice Ribbon has some shows coming up on the 29th, the 30th, and February 5th, but nothing has been announced for those matches. So that is everything coming up in the next 2 weeks of Joshi. I'm sure on the next episode, we will cover the big Stardom show. We will cover the Tokyo Joshi Max Hart matches as well, and maybe one or two of these other shows.
Still won't have been able to watch that Ice Ribbon show.
Correct, sadly. Kelly, anything else to add before we wrap everything up?
No, I'm all Joshi'd out. I got everything out of my system for the 2 weeks.
All right. Well, as always, you can follow us on Twitter at JBombAudio. If you missed us asking, if you had a question you wanted to ask and you missed it, follow us on that Twitter. We'll always tweet out when we are looking for questions, when we do these episodes with questions. You can also follow Kelly at Comic Geek Kelly and me at TameAimbo. Subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice to make sure you get these episodes right as they drop. And if that place happens to be Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star rating and review. We would really appreciate it. And if you're feeling extra generous, you can donate to us at redcircle.com/shows/jumpingbombaudio. And also remember, you can go to hellofresh.com/VOW16 and use the code VOW16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts from HelloFresh. So for Kelly, my name is Taylor. Thanks for joining us, and we will see you in 2 weeks on another episode of Jumping Bomb Audio.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.